Happy sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. This is the final Sunday before we enter into the season of Lent. So this is the final Sunday where you will see the priest wearing the color green. And this is also the last Sunday where we will hear the Alleluia sung between the second reading and the Gospel. And also the last time we will sing the Gloria during the Mass. We won't do any of these things until Easter. And so Lent is coming up this coming Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And perhaps many of us are thinking to ourselves, oh no, what am I going to do? How am I going to enter into Lent? What am I going to give up? I only have a few days left. It's okay. You still have a few more days. We are reminded that the season of Lent is a season of renewal. We are reminded that this renewal is geared towards our relationship with God, renewal of our relationship to Him, also a renewal in our relationships with others, but also renewal within ourselves, within our own very hearts. And our gospel today helps us in this renewal process. This is a long gospel that comes to us from the great Sermon of the Mount, found in Matthew's gospel. We've been hearing parts of this over the past few weeks. Just 2 weeks ago, we heard, of course, the Beatitudes, the great complement to the Ten Commandments, Jesus' great sayings. That began with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." These are great ways that we are able to orient our lives towards God. Last week, in continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we heard Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." In saying this, Jesus gives us an identity that we are meant to share the gospel, to be the salt of the earth, to bring flavor to the lives of others, to illumine the lives of others, and to follow our Lord, who is the light of the world. And this week, today, Jesus invites us into a deep dive into the moral life, the life that helps us to govern our actions. And Jesus, in the outset, shows to his disciples that this is the completion of the law, a completion of the law of Moses that was given on Mount Sinai. He does not abolish the law, but he shows that it has its limits, especially when it is only externally kept in a legalistic way. He shows that the old law, in a way, is very impersonal. You have heard it said by others that you shall not do this thing, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not swear false oaths. But I say to you, Jesus makes it personal. And in saying these words, "but I say to you," he claims his own divinity. Because only God can change the law. And so Jesus transforms the law, and he focuses, of course, on three areas of our lives. First, he focuses on the sin of anger and how anger can be connected to the sin of murder. "You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." Jesus shows to his disciples that this commandment is inclusive. It's not just for a certain select group of people. We are not meant to just forgive our biological brother, but we are meant to forgive all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, all those who are brothers and sisters in the human race. He shows to his followers that those who give in to anger, give in to resentment, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Gehenna was a valley outside of Jerusalem. And before Jerusalem was there, before the Israelites conquered this land, Gehenna was a place of pagan worship. In Jesus' time, it was a place of refuse, where trash was thrown and burned. And so Jesus is showing that when we are angered with our brother, it is as if we ourselves throw our brother into Gehenna through our own self-righteousness. But Jesus shows to his followers that we ourselves will be cast into that fiery place if we do not repent of our anger and resentment. Jesus then moves on to the sin of lust. This, of course, is a sin that affects our innermost self, the way that we see the world and those around us. Jesus wishes to bring wholeness and peace to our hearts, because what we see forms our very soul. When we look at something in the world, a person, an object, whatever it may be, we don't just perceive it, but we seek to understand it. We then oftentimes can judge it. We seek to possess it. We seek to love it. Or we seek to exploit it. Jesus desires to bring peace into our hearts through purity, as we are told in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." The sin of lust pulls our hearts in different directions, pulls our capacity to love in opposite directions, until our hearts are shattered and divided into separate pieces. But Jesus brings wholeness to our hearts through forgiveness. Jesus then goes on to show to his disciples the necessity to grow in humility by not swearing false oaths, by not bringing too much attention to ourselves and to our own words. He says, "Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything else is from the evil one." We so often, because of our own tendency towards pride, we seek to affirm and establish our own position, perhaps over the views and the positions of others. But Jesus calls his disciples, and he calls each and every one of us, to seek for the good of others, to not just build up ourselves, but to build up those around us. And so, yes, we are invited to reform our moral lives. As we enter into this great season of Lent, we are invited to ponder and to ask our Lord, "Where are you calling me? Where are you calling me for renewal? Am I called to bring patience into my heart by forgiving my brother or sister in Christ? Am I being called to renew my heart to you by not giving into lustful behavior? Are you calling me to grow in humility by not swearing false oaths and not bringing too much attention to myself? We ask our Lord that this Lent can be a time of renewal, at a time where we can invite our Lord into our hearts once again, to invite him in, to know that he is not ashamed or worried by our struggles, but that he wishes to bring us closer to him and his most sacred heart.